from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. And thank you, Ursula, for coming back to the show.
It's only gone
Good
one
morning,
day.
Ursula. Ursula, tell the truth.
Yes.
Have you ever felt more missed than you were?
Yeah, you always make me feel really good. I will say that. And I think you overestimate how much I do. Maybe.
Okay. Well, good. Good. Coming up. Coming up, we have Hannah Scott. That's right. Hannah Scott is going to be joining us, and she's coming in about something that Ursula called. She said this is going to happen. She's going to join us to talk about the first lawsuit against the capital gains tax that'll happen at 10:33. But right now, it is now time for the top three things that you need to know.
Number one.
And we talked about President Biden's first address to the joint Congress last night, and we did not get to talking about South Carolina Senator Tim Scott's response, the Republican response to what President Biden had said. And Tim Scott called President Biden out for what he says is making the country even more divided.
Our nation is starving for more than empty platitudes. We need policies and progress that brings us closer together. But 3 months in, the actions of the president and his party are pulling us further and further apart.
And as the only black Republican senator, Scott actually seized on President Biden's claim that passage of major police reform could help stamp out institutional racism nationwide.
Hear me clearly. America is not a racist country. It's backwards to fight discrimination with different types of discrimination.
And he pointed out that kids today are being taught that the color of their skin defines them again. And if they look a certain way, they are the oppressor. And he says President Biden and other top Democrats have been started using racism and crying racism way too frequently when it comes to unrelated policy disputes. And he says race is not a political weapon to settle every issue.
All right. So I made sure to give Senator Tim Scott my undivided attention after President Biden. And the reason why I wanted to do that is because I'm like, you know what? Let me sit here and listen to him fully and don't just assume what he's going to say. And then when he was done talking, I said to myself, I said, self, you should have known what he was going to say. And Ursula, when he starts off the speech, this is what I knew at the very beginning. I don't know if he had that sound. He says, our president seems like a good man. His speech was full of good words. He seems like a good man. You mean to tell me that you could not just say that President Biden's a good man? That was the whole that tone right there. Mm-hmm. But I want to take this time. I could sit here and talk about all of the things, and I could talk about his things, talking about racism, and I can go back to some of the words that he said in 2020. But I feel it's important to talk about something that's been talked about a lot since last night. Senator Tim Scott said, America is not a racist country. And I had a bunch of friends of mine hit me up like, can you believe he said that? And I actually had a buddy of mine texting me and said, can you believe he said that? Gee, do you think it's a racist country? And I purposely didn't text him back because the question kind of hit me a little bit, Ursula. And I told you this morning that I pulled a U this morning and woke up at 3:30 this morning and could not go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I was thinking about what Senator Scott said, that America isn't a racist country. And I agree with Senator Tim Scott. I agree with him because, yes, America has an ugly past. No doubt about it. It's nasty. The systems that have been put in place in this country to oppress, nasty, tragic on what has happened. There have been people who have persevered. There have been people that have helped others persevere to get through some of these unfair systems in this country. So here we are today with so much diversity in this country. We have situations in which people are thriving and getting better. Again, I'm not erasing the past, Ursula. What I'm saying is I personally cannot wake up every day and say, yeah, I live in a racist country. Because if you are someone that says, yes, G, the United States of America is a racist country, then I'll challenge you with this. Can you find another country that's not racist then? Because racism exists all throughout the world. There are people that look down on people that are darker in other countries as well. Mm-hmm. Now, back to the point of here in this country. I don't mean to talk too long, Ursula. I apologize. But in this country, how my father has taught me. And see, this part is really important because I know that we have young men and women that listen to our show. And I know that there are people that listen to what I say, and even if you do or you don't. But I want to be a good example, and I want to say the same things to them that I say to my own kids. And what I say to my own kids is what my father said to me. Champ, I don't care what is in place. I don't care about any systems. I don't care what people say. I don't care about the past. You personally, you, me, you will, I better never hear you say that the reason why I can't move forward is because of someone else. He used to tell me he has seen and been a part of way too much and is going to continue to work way too hard for me to be that way. So I'm saying to a youngster right now, yes, racism exists in this country, but you cannot go through this life waking up every day saying, oh, this country's racist. Because if you're right, if you are right in what you're saying, it's going to hold you back. And it's going to hold your children that come from behind. It's going to hold them back. I look at all of the things that my father told me, Ursula, and I'll say this. And this is kind of a humble brag, but I gotta put it out there to make my point. My daughter is a defense attorney today, 25 years old. In Cleveland, Ohio. My son is a year and a half away from graduating college at Ohio State. Yes, he's been going to school year round. My youngest son will become a real estate agent. There is no way in the world that I can wake up every day and believe that this country is racist. Now, are there racist people in this country? Yes. Are there still some systems in place that are racist? Absolutely. But just because there are some racists that work for a company, does that mean that the company is racist? So in order to move forward, I'm saying I cannot wake up every day and say that this is a racist country. So my agreement is with Senator Tim Scott.
I'm going to be honest. Gee, I'm surprised because when I was listening to this, I thought, didn't he just say that he had experienced these things where, yes, the color of his skin determine how he was treated in certain situations, including with police?
Yep, he did.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, how often we talk about these things. Do I think America is a racist country altogether? No, because I hate that we try to brush everything with this broad brush. Yeah. And just throw everyone into the same category. Just like I have never believed that anyone who supports President Trump is a racist. I absolutely do not believe that. That is, and that is something that people try to throw that in there and say, well, you couldn't possibly be someone who's not racist if you can support him. And right. I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I felt like he was trying to make it better for people who aren't willing in some ways to address some of the things that they are blind to. And that is what I was concerned about. The other thing is saying, hey, Democrats don't want to find solutions. Well, what are Republicans doing to find solutions? I think both sides are absolutely guilty of this. And you can just keep pointing to the other one saying, well, you don't want any solutions. Well, what are your better solutions? What are you talking about? What is it? And I love the fact, that Tim Scott is part of this effort to have police reform.
So do I. So do I. Can I talk about comfort level though?
Yeah.
When I watch Senator Tim Scott speak, there's few strengths in this world that I have. Is I can feel and read people's energy. And when I was listening and watching Senator Tim Scott, I could feel that some of the things he was saying, he believes in. But I could feel like I know that man. I bet you if I sat down with Senator Tim Scott, that dude's got some stories. Because he's a black man. He's a black man in America. I know he's got some stories.
Well, he even admitted it. He even said.
Here's an excerpt. This was June 18th, 2020, is when he talked about what was happening with George Floyd. And in it, he says, at the age of 21, I was pulled over simply having an improper headlight, and yet the officer felt the need to place his hand on his weapon and call me boy. So this is what I mean by comfort, Ursula. When I was watching and seeing him speak, as he's talking about racism, I can feel it. He's talking and he's trying to really kind of dampen it down, like kind of like, you know, hey, like that. But I could feel his energy as if there's so many stories inside of him.
I call it cognitive dissonance. I feel like you say one thing and then you're actually feeling something else. It's like just by saying it, are we supposed to believe that what we have witnessed ourselves didn't really happen? That's the hard part. So I think you're being very, very gracious. Do you think that because people are talking about him as a potential presidential candidate and he is laying the groundwork for that in 2024?
I don't want to break everybody's heart when I say this. I'm going to be really crystal clear. Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott, wouldn't even win the Republican nomination, let alone have a shot to be president of the United States. I don't think so. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong on that one. That's number one. Number two, it's interesting that I've had a few people inbox me and send messages to me telling me that Senator Tim Scott's a good man. And I ask him why. Why is Senator Tim Scott a good man?
I think he's a good man.
I'm not saying, no. And by the way, I am not going to attack that man's character or nothing like that. I'm not saying he's not a good man. I'm asking them to tell me why he's a good man. Tell me why outside of talking points or outside of what you wanted to hear him say, right? Because a lot of times, Tim Scott's of the world, the Candace Owens of the world, they say things and then some folks feel comfortable then. Like, it helps them feel like, hey, yeah, I like Tim Scott. So it kind of absolves you from everything else. So I know we're talking too much, Ursula. I know you got two more stories.
Number two.
An Auburn man has been arrested on investigation of harassment after he allegedly threatened to kill Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin. He left a voicemail earlier this week to threaten to kill her, and police were able to find him because he left his name and phone number on that voicemail. It turns out this guy has already been arrested 70 times, and his family says he has a history of mental illness.
70 times? That's it? That's all?
Yeah. This guy is truly the poster boy for the revolving door of the criminal justice system. How is it that he has been arrested 70 times, he has a history of mental illness, and he's able to still continue doing this?
What's the magic number? 85? What does he got to get to, Ursula? You tell me. What's the magic number that this person needs to get to before society and the criminal justice system feel that this person is a problem?
Or if it's not something that should be, I mean, obviously he is alleged to have committed a crime, but if he has a history of mental illness, is this also an illustration of how we absolutely are abysmal when it comes to having resources for people who are mentally ill? We know this, and then, you know, so what's going to happen now? We need to follow this because this is exactly the example of where someone keeps falling through the cracks. 70 times? 70 times.
70.
Number three.
Okay, just want to touch on it again. Washington State University is now the first public university in our state to require students to be vaccinated before they return to campus this fall. Students who plan to live on the Pullman campus need to provide proof of vaccination by August 6th.
There's going to be a lot of people that's going to be mad about what's going on at Washington State, yet some of them have no plans on sending their kids to Washington State. It's almost like to these days that people just complain just to complain. Look, there's a lot of folks that love this idea, and they love the idea of getting back to normalcy. That is the goal, and good for Washington State. I guarantee you there are some happy people that are looking towards the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm good with it.
In fact, I want you to text us. Text us at 98973. Are you going to change, if you have a student who's heading there, or who you have a student who attends that school, or if you're an alum, do you agree with the decision? Or if you're going to be heading to University of Washington, if your child is going to be heading to the University of Washington or currently attends that school, do you want them to have the same thing? Do you want them to make vaccines mandatory for students? I would love to hear from you, because you and I don't have skin in this game, although I do have skin in the game for Boulder, and they haven't made this decision yet. But as I said, our kid's already getting the vaccine.
Wait a minute. I got skin in the game.
How's that?
I got a son over there in Columbus.
Okay, that's true. Are they requiring vaccines over there?
I don't know. They might. Now, the question is are they going to require the football team? It'll be like this for the football team. Hey, there's voluntary workouts on Saturday. It's voluntary. and then you don't show up. Oh, good luck, buddy.
So smart whenever play.
So if you're playing college sports, and the coaches, and they say, hey, it's voluntary, that means you better not miss. So same with the vaccine. It's voluntary. Hey, still ahead, Hannah Scott, she will join us to talk about the first lawsuit against the capital gains tax. You guys are listening to the Gene Ursula Show.
Much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show on Kyra Radio. It was only 3 days. That is how long it took for the legal battle to begin over the just-passed capital gains tax.
Lawmakers passed a 7% tax on capital gains above $250,000 Sunday. And yesterday, Max Nelson with the Conservative Freedom Foundation says they joined another team in filing the first lawsuit against what they call an illegal income tax.
We are representing a group of plaintiffs from around Washington State. The case was filed in Douglas County Superior Court, and we are arguing in short that the capital gains income tax proposal is unconstitutional both under the Washington State and the U.S. constitutions.
Their arguments?
We make several arguments as to why the capital gains income tax violates both the Washington State and the United States constitutions. The primary argument for Washington State is that our state constitution provides that taxes on property have to be uniform. And our state courts have repeatedly held over the years that income is property. And so any income tax that is imposed in Washington State needs to be uniform. And that's not what we see in Senate Bill 5096. It targets specifically higher earning individuals or capital gains of over a certain amount, and it is not uniformly applied. And so we believe it violates the uniformity requirement for property taxes in Washington State.
On the federal side?
Federal level, there's also a number of issues. Again, probably the biggest one is that it taxes sale of capital gains held outside Washington State if the sale is made by a Washington resident. And we believe that violates the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution, which limits the ability of states to pass legislation that has impacts across their own border.
Now, the state Supreme Court has already weighed in on this issue a couple of times, so many wonder why even try this on the part of Democrats.
Of course, judges get to do what judges want to do. Certainly, they are supposed to abide by past precedent. but obviously from time to time they don't. Once you get into the courtroom, there's no guarantees as to the outcome, but the precedent on these matters is very strong. Now, it's also interesting to note that the legislature went out of its way to try and muddy the waters with this issue. The legislature called it an excise tax as opposed to a capital gains income tax. I don't think that makes a difference in the long run. It doesn't change the nature of the tax. You know, every other state in the union and the IRS have all recognized that a tax on capital gains is a tax on income.
House Majority Leader Pat Sullivan did issue a statement after the lawsuit was filed saying they're welcome to make their case. We assume that this will make it to the state Supreme Court. It is the position of the legislature that this is an excise tax. To that, Nelson says,
the legislature can call it whatever it likes. But it doesn't change the nature of the tax as a tax on income. But clearly the legislature was trying to make this appear at least different from previous measures that have been struck down.
Now, he expects this will take at least a year to play out in court. In the meantime, a second lawsuit is on the way.
And that is Hannah Scott reporting, and she joins us now live. Hey, Hannah.
Good morning, Ursula.
You almost need to be a tax expert to try to follow everything. So it sounds like the discrepancy between the two sides is the excise tax versus the tax on income. Is that correct?
That is, that's the primary argument. So the backers of this bill that passed this capital gains tax say that this is an excise tax, which is legal. That's similar to a sales tax, right?
Right.
And we have those, and those can be graduated and at different rates and all of that. Whereas the backers say this is an income tax, and there's case law that could support kind of either one.
Right.
So those are the arguments that are going to come up.
And so let's just say this were to survive this legal challenge. If this were to survive, then what happens? What would be the soonest we would see this go into effect?
So the people who filed this lawsuit yesterday are expecting this legal battle to take at least a year. Right now, as written, the law would start collections in January of 2022. I think the expectation is that it's likely going to be tied up in the courts until then, because this is not the only lawsuit. There's a second one that's in the works and going to be out soon that is expected to take years. I don't know the exact details on that one yet, but 2023, I would say, is going to be the first year, should this survive, that anyone would have to pay the capital gains tax. I will just point out quickly, though, that there is this possibility. There are legal experts out there who believe that the original ruling by our state Supreme Court that made income property was a bad call, was based on the court at that time misapplying, if you will, previous case law. So there's the possibility that that's what people are looking for here, who are supporting these taxes, that want the court now to kind of unravel all this decades-old law and get to that misapplied step back in the 30s, opening the gates to a regular income tax.
When there's confusion and the waters are muddy, it is easy for people to lose money. Hence, that's the problem with all of this. First, before I ask my question, I want to be on record and say this. I'm against this Washington gains tax. Yes, I am. And my question to you is what are you hearing? Are you hearing that this lawsuit is actually going to be a good thing, and the fact that it might hold up and hold water on this? What are you hearing?
I am hearing that it's, you know, based on precedent, if the court does what courts are supposed to do and follows precedent, then it should, you know, stand a good chance. I think that there is the opinion, a lot of people are of the opinion, that the current court is one possibly going to unravel all that decades old law that I was just talking about from back in the 30s and find that misapplied statute and maybe change the law. We've seen this current Supreme Court make some interesting decisions on the drug possession law, the Blake decision, and a couple of other recent rulings that came out in recent months where they've really ridden that line of kind of just creating law, if you will. They've gone in directions that not everyone expected. And I think there's a school of thought to that as well.
What's so strange is that it depends, you know, are capital gain taxes a form of income tax? It all depends who you ask. So on the federal level, the federal government does categorize capital gains as part of income taxes, but many states do not. So, and I think the thinking is that this would be a more liberal state Supreme Court and maybe would have a different look this time around. And in any case, we will continue to follow it. It's a lot, and as G said, there's a lot of confusion, and then, you know, chances are you're going to end up losing money, but we'll see.
Maybe. We'll see. It's for now, if it does survive, it's just on the about 9,000 people they say it will affect. That would be the interim. It'd be a while before you saw everyone affected.
Thank you, Hannah. Appreciate
you
that.
Bet, guys.
Now, Ursula, real quick, before we go into scenarios next, the reason why I had to say that is because, again, muddy waters, confusion, right? And as someone who, you know, I love the opportunity to take money from those that are really rich and give to others. But the problem is with this new Washington gains tax, here's the problem, is that there's still a continuation of this other dink and dunk taxes that are going, right? And so you get all of this stuff, and then once you start with this Washington gains tax,
the capital gains tax,
once that continues, it's like, oh, okay, well, let's try this again in another way.
Well,
that is the
argument that Republicans have. It's just yet another tax, and an income tax is against the state constitution. So, but right now with this bill, they've changed the verbiage to call it an excise tax.
Right.
To try to get around that whole thing. But the part that is interesting is that, yes, this would only affect 9,000 people. And you have often talked about the rich and the wealthy need to pay their fair share. So would that be, you know, something that happens in this case?
Well, yes, I do believe that. But this is what I want out of the state of Washington, right?
You want it less complicated.
I want it less complicated, number one. And I told you, you know, sometimes I process news different than most. When I think of this, I think about school, right? When I think about school, I think about the different teachers that I have. You know that one teacher that was really hard, but that was very consistent? You respected that teacher. You knew what you were going to get. But then you had this one teacher, one week they're one way, the next week they're another way. They give you homework on this day, and then they just all over the board. Yeah, the teacher's cool, but the teacher's so inconsistent that they're frustrating and they bother you. That's the same thing with taxes here in this state. Just make it consistent and make it easy for people to understand, and then let's go forward. All of this dink and dunk and get you here and get you there, it ain't cool, and I don't like it. Coming up next, we do scenarios. Someone is working for a company, and they actually gave their company bad Yelp reviews. We'll explain that next. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Thursday. Ursula, before we get to scenarios, I got a question for you.
Yeah. I was confused at the end of last segment.
No, what's
happening, G?
Hold on. You've been confused, like my Tim Scott answer.
Yeah.
You were confused on that.
Yeah.
And then people are texting in like, yeah, G, you sound like you have COVID again because you're making sense. What you think I'm changing, Ursula?
I'm not laughing about the COVID part, but just that. I think you are, or maybe your focus is. I think we're realizing maybe that if we were to put a label on you, you are socially liberal and fiscally more conservative. So, but you'll find this interesting. In the 2006, okay, so if you're socially liberal, you believe in more progressive policies like legalization of same-sex marriage, increased access to abortion, gun control, and universal health care. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to being fiscally conservative, you believe also in the privatization of industry, less government, regulation, and lower taxes, and you believe in free trade. So this is where a lot of moderates find themselves. But I want to point out something to you. In the 2016 election, 52% of socially liberal and fiscally conservative voters actually cast their ballot for President Trump. So just, yeah, so it's interesting that I think we're finding out the more that we hash it out on some of these issues. I also think that as you realize that maybe something like this this capital gains tax could personally affect you, it may have influenced your thought process.
No, don't you even try it. Don't you even try it. Now, but you know what, though? Before we, I just want to say this, though. Like, sometimes when I see text messages and it says, oh, gee, you have an agenda. You guys have an agenda. I'm like, I'm not even talented enough in radio to do this thing with an agenda. Like, that would be hard work. I don't know how to do that. I only know how to just say what's on my mind. And by the way, sometimes I got to be careful with that because Ursula might get mad at me.
Not mad. I might just be like, okay, wait a minute. This last time we talked about this, you said this. You know, it can be a moving target a little bit.
Are you trying to say I move goalposts?
Yes.
All right. Well, let me get to this.
Anyway, okay.
Let me get this scenario by Farrah.com.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo.
I may have a problem at work. Well, I don't have one now, but I'm worried that I may be creating one. I work as a retail manager, and part of my job is interacting with the public. That means I get all the complaints, but I don't really have any authority to fix problems. We have been having issues in a couple of areas, and I thought, I brought this up to my supervisor several times. He pretty much blew me off. Then, in a manager's meeting 2 months ago, I brought it up in front of everyone. Other managers have had the same issue, but the boss doesn't want to hear it. Then he called me into his office and said to never bring it up again and never embarrass him in a meeting like that. So I decided to take matters into my own hands. At first, I encouraged complaining customers to leave reviews. I thought that may get some attention. A couple did, but not very many. So I started leaving bad reviews myself. Oh, that's not good. Under different names and accounts, of course. It's getting a lot of attention, and now everyone is talking about this problem. And now I'm worried someone will figure out it has been me all along. But I can't suddenly stop doing it because it would be weird if nobody complained anymore. What should I do? 989-73 State Roofing Text Line. Ursula, we ain't got that long. What do you got?
Wow. Stop doing it and hope to goodness that you don't get caught. Oh, my God. That was a mistake. I disagree with the boss, although maybe this person could have talked about it in private, because you don't ever want to embarrass in front of a large group, but you can take your issues separately. But this was a mistake. That person should not be making fake reviews. Heck no.
All right, Paul, 10 seconds. What do you got?
Yeah, I don't like, I'm not a big fan of user-generated reviews, but there had to have been a better way to get this point across, especially if it relates to the company and you brought it up in meetings. That might be a bigger issue there. I think there might have been a better way going forward.
Yeah, we're on the same page. This is lying. This is being untruthful. You're lying. When you put those views and you make different accounts to make those reviews online, that is lying, right? I don't care what happens. You never win when you lie, period. That's the story. Hey, coming up next, we do agree to disagree. And who knows? Because the way Ursula has talked about me today, maybe I might agree with everything that Ursula says and we have a kumbaya session. That's right. We do that next. It's G and Ursula.